a little bit after we started, and I just, to anyone here with an interest in conditional use number 2361 Beach Fire Brewing Company, that item has been removed from the agenda for today and will be placed on a later agenda. So if you missed the announcement earlier, Beach Fire Brewing Company has been removed from the agenda today. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2515 Renewable Redevelopment LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a HI1 heavy industrial district for an electric substation and utility uses to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 140.25 acres more or less. The property is lying on the northwest side of Gate A Road, located off of Iron Branch Road, which is Sussex County Route 331. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 233, Map 2, Parcel 2.01, submitted into the record. Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of a letter received from the applicants, we have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response, we have a copy of the staff analysis, we have a copy of comments received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we have a copy of the property deed, and I would note we have received two comments that are included in your paperless packet. Both, however, do appear to be from the same person. So thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
First,
you
time.
Know what I do for a living, right?
It's his first time here.
Is it on now?
It's on.
All right, let's try this again. Okay, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm representing the applicant, Renewable Redevelopment LLC. With me at the podium here behind me are Megan Welling of the McCormick Taylor Engineering Firm and Matt Filippelli on behalf of the applicant. He's the Senior Director of Technical Development. There was an exhibit book submitted for the record, which I believe you have copies of. The applicant, Renewable Redevelopment LLC, is a subsidiary of US Wind Inc., an offshore wind energy development company that was founded in 2011 and is headquartered in Baltimore, Maryland. The applicant is seeking a conditional use approval for an electrical substation on a portion of 140.25 acre parcel of land located on the northwest side of Gate A Road. You can see on the screen, that's the entire parcel, that's the 140 acres. The land was purchased from Indian River Power LLC in December of 2023, and the land was part of the Indian River Power Plant property near Millsboro. The purpose of today's hearing is to consider a conditional use application for an electrical substation on a portion of the 140-acre property. Today's hearing is not about the development of offshore wind energy projects or the federal and state permitting process that authorizes that development. Those topics are important, but they're not relevant to this application. The purpose of today's P&Z hearing is very specific. And that is the applicant's site an appropriate location for an electrical substation under the applicable Sussex County land use regulations? As to the applicant's conditional use application, as I said, the site contains 140 acres, consisting of 71.42 acres of mostly wooded wetlands and 68.89 acres of mostly wooded uplands. The substation site itself will require the removal of approximately 21.89 acres of upland woodlands. The remaining upland woodlands and wetlands will remain undisturbed to the greatest extent possible. Of the 140-acre site, approximately 23.59 acres will be disturbed, being the location of the underground cable vaults that contain the incoming transmission lines, and then the site of the actual substation. And the actual substation site itself will utilize 13.32 acres of the property. To the east of the site, and again, you can see it on the screen, is the Indian River Power Plant, which, as you know, is a coal-burning power plant, which began operations at this site in, I believe, in approximately 1957. The plant is in the process of being retired, but one coal-burning unit remains in operation. The electricity generated by the plant has been and continues to be transmitted to the DP&L electrical substation on Gate A Road, and that site is immediately adjacent to and contiguous with the site of the proposed substation. In fact, if you look at the screen, the renewable development site surrounds the DP&L substation on three sides. The substation is the rectangular cutout. Amy, can you put up the colored? As to the nature and the operation of a proposed substation, an electrical substation is a critical component of an electrical generating, transmission, and distribution system. An electrical substation changes the high transmission voltage from the generating source to a lower distributing voltage, which can then be transmitted to the electric grid and ultimately delivered to the user. The substation is a combination of various components of equipment to accomplish the voltage change and to ensure safety of the operation. The main pieces of equipment in a substation are the transformers, which actually change the voltage. There's other equipment utilized, which includes circuit breakers, isolators, surge arresters, capacitor banks, voltage regulators, and cooling equipment. And everyone's familiar with electrical substations of various size. We all drive by them all the time. And basically, it's lots of different pieces of equipment. There are also control buildings, which house the control and monitoring systems that manage the operation of the substation. And the substation and control buildings are unmanned, and all that operation takes place remotely. As to traffic, the traffic generated by the substation after construction, the traffic from the site will be minimal. As I said, there are no regular employees. Any traffic would be related to the maintenance, inspection, and repair of the equipment when that is required. And in addition, there would be ground maintenance and periodic security inspections. In the record is Del Dot service level evaluation response. It's dated January 22nd of this year, and it indicates that the facility's traffic impact would be diminutive. Other impacts of the operation of the facility would be limited to the immediate area of the substation itself and would have no adverse effect on neighboring properties. The location of the substation is approximately 1 mile northeast of Iron Branch Road and approximately 1,700 feet, which is more than the length of 5 football fields, from the closest off-site dwelling. In addition, the 13-acre substation itself is surrounded by the remainder of the 140-acre site and is buffered by a significant natural barrier of existing mature trees. The only sounds associated with a substation are a low hum or a buzz from the transformers and other equipment, a clicking from circuit breakers and relays and switches, and the sound of the cooling fans and pumps. And again, these are basically associated with the immediate area of the substation. There's no noticeable odors from the operation. There is a grounding system comprised of ground wires and rods that would dissipate electricity from lightning into the ground to prevent damage to the equipment and ensure safety. The site lighting at the substation will be similar to the lighting at the existing DP&L substation. It will be designed designed to properly illuminate substation for security access and safety. The lighting would be directed inward and downward with shielding to ensure that no light pollution spills from the site. There is no waste, trash, or other byproducts produced by the use. There's no plan for any sewer or domestic water connection proposed for the site, the unmanned site. The substation design will be reviewed and comply with requirements of the State Fire Marshal's Office. Stormwater management will be designed and constructed in compliance with the state and county requirements. It's anticipated that the design will utilize a subgrade stormwater containment to manage the quality and quantity of discharge. The containment is anticipated to be a multi-layer aggregate base across the entire stone surface of the substation area. And again, of course, that would have to be approved by Soil Conservation. The substation itself will maintain a 50-foot buffer from any wetland area. A portion of the substation area is located within the 100-year floodplain, as that is designated on the FEMA maps. The entire substation pad area and all critical equipment will be constructed at a height to avoid potential flood impact that will exceed FEMA elevation requirements. Again, the entire substation area will be enclosed by a security fence. The fence design will be finalized as part of the final site plan approval. The design is anticipated to be a fence that would be 7 feet high, a chain link fence, and it would have a 45-degree angled topping course of barbed wire. The gate to the facility will have the appropriate ability for emergency vehicle access. The fence signage would provide the site name, the owner contact information, and appropriate warnings about safety and unauthorized entry onto the property. The substation will be designed in conformity with all applicable county, state, and federal standards and codes, as well as in compliance with DP&L's requirements for the interconnect utility for the connection to the electric grid. So the substation, the DP&L substation is a lighter gray there. This substation will be connecting into DP&L on the adjacent property and then from there into the electrical grid. Now, all of the items, all the impacts I just discussed are similar to impacts and operations of the adjacent DP&L substation, and that site has been operating safely at that location without negative impact for decades. As to the applicable land use regulations, the entire 140-acre site is currently zoned HI1 heavy industrial, as is all of the adjacent power plant property. Now, the purpose of that district, the heavy industrial district, is to provide variety of industrial operations. The HI1 district allows, as permitted uses, a wide variety of commercial and industrial uses, including the manufacturing, compounding, processing, packaging, and treatment of numerous products, as well as any use that's permitted in the light industrial 1 and 2 districts. The HI1 district also authorizes, as a conditional use, public utilities, including buildings, regulator stations, and substations. As you know, but for the record, the zoning ordinance describes a conditional use as a use that is generally of a public or semi-public character and is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. Conditional uses require the exercise of planning judgment as to location and site plan because of the nature of the use and the importance of the relationship of the use to the comprehensive plan. As to the proposed uses relationship to the comprehensive plan, the entire 140-acre site and the power plant property are designated as being in the industrial area as shown on the comprehensive plan's future land use map. This industrial area, according to the plan, are devoted to concentrations of larger industrial uses, including heavier industry, and also large, more intensive standalone industrial uses should be directed to the industrial area per the plan. Additionally, the comprehensive plan states that the county recognizes that the availability of public services and infrastructure is necessary in order to spur industrial growth, and the county supports efforts by utility providers in the county to extend service areas. The comp plan discusses the importance of renewable energy sources, including emerging technologies such as offshore wind energy for utility scale electricity, and encourages renewable energy sources from a utility level standpoint with a committed power company integration, which basically is what this this application is proposing. And lastly, the comp plan encourages redevelopment and reuse of existing industrial sites that are already well served by the necessary infrastructure and have good access. Applying those county land use regulations to the proposed site, I think it results in some pretty clear conclusions. As to zoning, the site is heavy industrial. That permits, a wide variety of intense commercial and industrial uses. And the site is adjacent to the existing DPNL electrical substation, which again will be the point of connection to the electric grid. As to the conditional use, electrical substation is of a public character and ensures the supply of energy to the electric grid. It's essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of every business, school, hospital, and resident of Sussex County. As to the comprehensive plan, again, the site is in the industrial area where intense industrial uses are directed. And again, the proposed substation will be a crucial component contributing to adequate supply of electrical energy in the county and the development of renewable energy sources for the future of the county. I do have some proposed findings and conditions, which I will submit to Jamie to distribute to you for your consideration. And I have a very short closing for you. As I stated earlier, the purpose of this hearing is very specific. Is the applicant's site an appropriate location for an electrical substation under the applicable Sussex County land use regulations? And based on the facts and the law that I've presented, I submit that this site is not only appropriate, but it's about as ideal a site as I think could exist for this proposed use. And with that, that would conclude our presentation. Of course, subject to any questions that the commission may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
Well, I had several, but you answered most of them. Glad to hear there's going to be a fence all the way around because there's so much wildlife out there. I thought I was in a game refuge when I drove out there between the turkeys and the deer. So you're basically going to be doing what's already there. Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mears?
No questions, sir.
Okay. Mr. Collins, you answered the question about what forested areas will be preserved. So thank you.
Okay. Butler?
I have a question. Is there ain't going to be any lithium ion battery storage or any kind of battery storage? Starting to hear a little bit more about it with the solar grids going up.
Just come on, identify yourself for the record.
Please. Yeah. Matthew Filippelli, technical director. No, there is no large commercial scale battery storage plant at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Butler?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. White House?
None for me, thank you.
Staff on this end? Anyone? Counselor?
No, none for me, thanks.
All right then. Mr. Fuqua, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2515, Renewable Redevelopment LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2515? Okay, anyone on the commission have any further questions, comments? Okay, there being none, we'll close.
I actually do have one quick question.
Okay.
If we were to add a condition
that, you know, you would have to come back for another public hearing. If you decided to put storage facilities, would that be a problem?
No, I mean, the only thing we're getting approved is what we're asking for.
Yep.
So if we changed it, we'd have to come back.
You'd have to do it anyway, but yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, I will say there, on the site plan, there's a control building and there is a, I wouldn't call it a storage building, but there's another building that equipment would be in. But that would be part of the site plan review.
I do have a question for Mr. Roberts. So if the battery storage does come up, we could put that condition in there that we would have to review this again.
You could put it in there, but I think it's also just sort of, because that's a change in use or an addition to the use.
That's the
law.
They
would have to come back from that. Or at least they would, how it would actually play out in sort of in real time would be that, you know, they've asked for this site plan to be approved today, and assuming it gets approved, recommended for approval by you and approved by county council, they'd have to get site plan approval. If they're going to add anything to that site plan, there would be a determination made whether it's a substantial change from what was originally approved by the county. So you would still have the ability to say, okay, well, this is going to require a public hearing or not. So we're covered either way, and we can add that as a condition. But for your benefit and anybody who's listening or watching, that's how it would play out as well.
The reason why I ask, most Teslas, if a Tesla catches on fire with a lithium-ion battery, approximately takes 50,000 gallons of water to put that car out. No more questions.
Okay. All right. Any other comments, questions? All right, then. That being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the day to see if we make a decision.